for the first argument of 2020. First case is United States versus Wall. Is the appellant ready to argue? The government?
Yes, Your Honor.
Appellant may argue.
Chief Judge, members of the court, my name is Captain Rachel Atkins, and along with Lieutenant Colonel Christopher Carrier, we represent the appellant, Specialist Corey Wall. I'd like to reserve 5 minutes of my time for rebuttal.
Granted.
Thank you. The Army Court mishandled this case by acting outside of their statutory authority by inserting this confusing innovation. Specifically, the Army Court instruction to the convening authority, the advisory opinion as to the appropriate amount of confinement and level of discharge is ultra vires. The Army Court chose to set aside this finding of guilt and the appellant's sentence, and to remand it down to the convening authority for the convening authority to handle. However, the Army Court still continued without authority and out of procedural sequence to insert influence on the remand action.
If the opinion is advisory, where's the prejudice?
Prejudice is that it's ultra vires, and then the Army Court should not be doing it.
I realize that's your argument. That's your argument as a matter of law. And assuming arguendo that you're right, and that the Army Court had no statutory basis for what it did, where's the prejudice? I mean, how's your client harmed by this ultra vires advisory action?
Yes, Your Honor. We believe the substantial right that is prejudiced here is that the appellant's right to have the convening authority do an independent decision on this, on the remand action, and by the Army Court inserting and sending this signal down to the convening authority as to what they feel is an appropriate level of confinement, that's where we believe the substantial right that's prejudiced.
Counsel, if this was so problematic, why didn't you raise it and ask the CCA to reconsider its opinion because it had acted in ultra vires fashion?
Your Honor, in the case of Specialist Wall, we did. So in the case of Specialist Wall, there was a motion for reconsideration to the Army Court first. But we would argue that that was not necessary and isn't necessary to do in other cases because you're going back to the same court to ask them what they. We can understand that the Army Court thought what they did was appropriate because they did it. And so it was an exercise in futility to go and ask them for reconsideration, and we don't normally have to do that step. And so it made sense to petition to this court, as this is the higher echelon, and that can correct that lower court. The brigade commander says something, we don't go to the battalion commander and ask them to do it. Similarly, if we felt something wrong was with the Supreme Court of the United States, we wouldn't come to this court and ask it.
So counsel, as a preliminary matter, on page 4 of your brief, you say that abuse of discretion is the proper standard of review by this court. Now, if this were a typical reassessment issue, clear cut. But here, aren't we really dealing with the jurisdiction of this court, the ripeness of the issue, the legal authority of the CCA, and aren't all of those reviewed de novo?
Yes, Your Honor.
So why did you say it was abuse of discretion?
Because we were raising that reassessment was not appropriate at all, and I believe that wasn't the granted issue, but that under whether or not they applied the Sales and Winkleman factors to even do a reassessment, we don't believe that that was appropriate, and that rather a rehearing was more appropriate because of how drastically this changed. The originally had two specifications. They were cut in half. Now we are dealing with a single offense, and with the government's, half of the government's sentencing case no longer being relevant, this case drastically changed. So for the Army Court to do a reassessment, it's premature because the Army Court does not have the appellant's 1105 matters before the Army Court. And so the appellant could have been a model prisoner and had many other mitigating exigent circumstances in those 1105s. And so the Army Court did not have that data before them and could not properly come to an accurate reassessment at that stage.
Okay, but I'm focusing on the standard of review.
Yes, Your Honor.
So are you now saying, when you said on page 4 of your brief that abuse of discretion is the standard, are you now saying de novo review is actually the standard?
as to whether the Army Corps had authority to do that, yes, Your Honor. Okay.
Captain Atkins, what would be your remedy here then if we were to agree with you that the CCA has acted beyond its authority, even though there has been no action against your client yet? What would be the remedy, a new 66 review or?
The remedy that we would be asking for is to strike the last 22 words of that paragraph and the accompanying footnote 4. That's where the advisory opinion is. We're asking you to strike the advisory opinion in the Army Court's opinion and to signal to the Army Court that this procedural step, is this creative innovation that they came up with, is out of procedure.
And doesn't that sound like declaratory relief? I mean, aren't we issuing a declaration to them at that point? And do we have the authority to issue declaratory relief?
As the review authority for the Army Court of Criminal Appeals, if they've acted without authority, we believe that this court has the authority to order that language be stricken.
You don't think that's declaratory relief? Why wouldn't you just order a new Article 66 review, let them do whatever they're going to do, and then be done with it? In other words, make it clear here that what they've done is an unauthorized action, or about to do, I should say, and then order them to do another review and see what happens at that point. How can we just order them to strike something out of their opinion? Is there any authority for that?
But you're saying by your order that it would signal to them that this language is inappropriate.
Yeah.
Yes, I think that would be sufficient, Your Honor.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting at. I'm troubled by the fact that we can simply call down and say, hey, take line 4 and 5 out. You're not asking us to do that, are you?
No, Your Honor, and that it goes to the point of, because this is an odd procedural step that the Army Court invented, it kind of puts us in an awkward position, an awkward timeliness of exactly what to ask for. We don't have the battle drill for this because this is something that we have not seen before, and since we've been raising it, we have not seen it since.
What's the remaining maximum legal punishment?
The remaining maximum legal punishment for Specialist Wall is still life, Your Honor.
So if you could explain to me, and this goes back to the prejudice question that someone else asked, why is he prejudiced by a cap on the punishment that the convening authority can adjudge?
Because, Your Honor, we would see it as the cap is illusory, is that it's a cap that functions as a ceiling, but it also functions as an anchor. And the parsimony principle, we would go to the simplest that is necessary. And so by the Army Court of Criminal Appeals signaling to the lower echelon that, in Wall's case, that 10 years is appropriate, that the convening authority is going to see that as necessary. Our convening authorities usually deal in terms of pretrial agreements and quantums. And so by the higher court signaling, and we point to footnote 4, where it says this reassessment is appropriate. That last paragraph of the opinion says, you know, it treated it as a ceiling, you know, no higher than 10. But that footnote says 10 years is appropriate. And so that becomes an anchor in signaling to the convening authority. And to Your Honor's question as to how this is.
They also go on to say that you can give basically whatever punishment you want. So question, counsel, let's assume that we agree with you. We say that this is all wrong. They issue a new 66, and it goes to the convening authority, and the convening authority approves a sentence of life. Then where are you at in terms of your effectiveness of counsel?
Your Honor, we believe the appellant is no different because he is still entitled to a Article 66 review. And at that point, the Criminal Court of Appeals would have all the 1105 matters before him. And at that point, they can still raise the sentence appropriateness argument. And if the Criminal Court of Appeals thought that 10 was the appropriate number, they can reevaluate it at that point at the correct time in the procedure.
Would it be your view then that given its footnote that the CCA would be bound to give your client no more than 10 years? Even if the convening authority exercised its full judgment without the footnote, without the language, and gave him life? Because
it
seems to be a funny game that you're playing to me.
Your Honor, I think that would be potentially an argument at that point, but because it's ultra vires and they didn't have the authority, I don't think they can be bound by it. but I think that that would be an argument to make at that point that you previously came to this number, and if it's 1105 matters are sympathetic, if that number increased, that that would be a concern to be raised at that point.
And again, talking at that point, right, you're acting as though we're at that point. I mean, we don't know today, do we, whether the convening authority would even reassess the sentence as opposed to order a rehearing or order a sentence reassessment, a sentence rehearing? We don't know that, do we?
Yes, Your Honor, and that's it's part of the awkwardness of this creative innovation is that with the procedural timeline is disrupted by the Army Court trying to treat this as two different steps and combining them into one. But
an argument can be made that you're the one that's coming here complaining about something that hasn't yet happened. I mean, in terms of any actual harm to your client.
Your Honor, we believe that the error is that this number is out there. And this is especially important in this case because the old Article 60 clemency powers still applied in this case. So even in the case of a rehearing, if you...
I know that the number is out there, but under ordinary principles, doesn't there have to be an actual injury to your client? Like an injury, in fact, as opposed to the potentiality for an injury.
We believe that it's a strong likelihood that this injury will occur would be sufficient for this to ask this court to intervene at this point.
Counsel, on the issue of ripeness, can you respond to the government's argument that there's no sentence in this case, certainly no approved sentence in this case, so that it's not properly before us at this time?
So looking at Article 67, Your Honor, we would say that the CAF may act with respect to cases where there's a finding or sentence approved by the convening authority and it's set aside as incorrect in law by the Criminal Court of Appeals, and we believe that would be the authority that you have to review this case at this time.
But I think the government's argument is that there is no sentence that's been set aside as incorrect in law.
And to that point, Your Honor, if it's not set aside as incorrect in law, we're not sure as to, I mean, it was that sentence, the specification and sentence was set aside as a Hills trailer, and so if it wasn't set aside as incorrect in law, we're not sure as what else it would be set aside as. For those reasons, we'd ask that this court to ensure that this case conforms procedurally with the rules. In order to do that, we ask that the Army Court's ultra vires language be stricken. That's the last 22 words in the accompanying footnote 4. Our prayer of relief is not to create a new rule, just to stop the Army Court from inserting itself out of sequence in the remand process and avoiding ACCA's attempt to treat these two separate things as one. And it's not permitted by the rules. An appellant should be entitled to an independent convening authority decision followed by a timely review of the Army Court of Criminal Appeals of the Article 66 review.
Counsel, let me ask you one more question before you conclude here. Isn't it just as likely that if this case were to go back to the convening authority, that he and his or she and her SJA might look at this language and say, hey, wait a minute, they're not the boss of us. We have our own discretion and authority under Article 60. And they would ignore it and simply have the convening authority exercise his or her independent judgment. Isn't it just as likely that that would happen or could happen?
What should have been happening, but the
do you know what I'm asking, right?
Yes,
you said, hey, look, there's a high likelihood that when this goes back down, your client will be prejudiced because the convening authority will simply rubber stamp the endorsement or recommendation by the CCA, right?
Yes, sir.
I'm asking you, isn't it just as likely that the CEA, the convening authority, will simply say, hey, I have my own discretion under Article 60? You say?
Yes, Your Honor. We would anticipate
I know you would anticipate that, but that
convening authority would get advice from his SJA that under Article 66E, he's bound to follow what the Court of Appeal, the Criminal Court of Appeals,
based on what
dictated.
He could use the same argument that you're using, right?
So we're putting them in that position to either pick Article 60 and have your independence, your independent convening authority determination, or follow what the highest court is telling you to do. And, oh, by the way, you're going to have to go back up to the next highest court.
Where do you get off trying to divine what a staff judge advocate is going to advise a convening authority to do? I mean, that seems like an awfully odd argument to me. What are you saying here?
Your Honor, we are getting that from the government's brief, and that they discuss that SJA would brief the convening authority on what the Army Court's opinion states. And so whether...
Well, if he didn't, he's not doing his job.
Yes, Your Honor.
So whatever you think of the Army Court's decision, never mind. Go ahead.
Counsel, why, and you can address this on rebuttal if you choose, why wouldn't it be procedurally and constitutionally more proper for us to say, okay, you have preserved your objection, and if and when the convening authority acts as you divine that they will, then you have something to complain about. And until then, you don't. And you can respond on rebuttal.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Counsel for the government.
Chief Judge Stuckey, members of the court, and may it please the court. I'm Major Jonathan Reiner, and together with Major Hannah Kaufman, I represent the United States. The Army Court's mandate did not prejudice appellant and is not ripe for review because at this time the convening authority has not yet had the opportunity to select between the three options that the Army Court provided. Additionally, the Army Court did not abuse its discretion in scoping the mandate.
How so? In a case tried under the old Article 60, where the unfettered discretion of the convening authority still exists, what statutory basis is there for the CCA to do this?
Under Rule 1107...
Statutory and 1107, the new 1107 wasn't in effect then. So where does that leave you? What statutory basis is there for the convening authority to take it upon itself to tell, for the CCA to take it upon itself, tell the convening authority what to do under an old Article 60 case?
While the Army Court did not provide the basis of its action, the best that the government can divine is that it's the interplay of Article 66 and the outer bounds of Article 66, to be sure, and 1107. If the court agrees with appellant that the Army Court acted ultra vires, then the government would have no objection to giving the exact relief that appellant asks for at oral argument, eliminating those last 22 words of the Army Court's final paragraph. That would allow the convening authority to select between a rehearing on the set-aside specification, a rehearing on sentence alone, or a reassessment without a cap.
Counsel, what if instead of what it said, the CCA had said, hey, convening authority, you can do whatever you want, but we're not going to approve a sentence of more than 10 years?
At that point, it would start to look more like an advisory opinion. However, any time that a case is in front of a service court, they are bound to evaluate the appropriateness of the sentence that's there. This case
is it appropriate to foreshadow the sentence that's appropriate when the 1105, when basically matters have not been filed with the convening authority with respect to the sentence?
Once that would be, the new action takes place, Your Honor, at that point the Army Court would have to do a new sentence appropriateness because it would be new matters before the Army Court at that point.
Counsel, in regard to ripeness that you raised, why shouldn't we be looking at this issue as essentially the question of whether the CCA's action was lawful? And therefore, there's nothing contingent about that. That's already occurred. So why wouldn't it be right for us to, this court, to weigh in on that issue?
A few months ago in Steele, this court said, quote, given the possibility of a rehearing, unquote, an appeal is not ripe for this court's intervention. That's the precise situation that we're in here. There's a possibility of a rehearing. So the better course of action in keeping with this court's recent precedent would be to wait until there is a new action to determine whether there is any prejudice or not.
But in terms of there's nothing contingent here. We're focusing on whether the action by the CCA was lawful. So in terms of this rehearing, that's immaterial to the issue of whether there's ripeness here.
Correct, but right now, because of the, or for many of the same reasons that the appeal isn't right, there's also a complete lack of prejudice at this point. It would require the court to engage in a speculative analysis.
So speaking of speculative analysis, let's say that the convening authority gets this order and says, you know, my experience has been with these types of cases that typically they get around 3 years. But the CCA seems to be telling me that 10 years is the appropriate amount. Therefore, I don't want to look as if I'm not taking sexual assault cases seriously. So I'm going to impose 7 years. In terms of reassessment, if this were to come back up to this court or to the CCA, the government would be saying, see, there's no harm, no foul here, because they went below the cap that was identified by the CCA. There would be nothing in the record for us to know that, in fact, the convening authority was very significantly affected by that 10 years. So why isn't this a problem?
If appellant felt that the convening authority's action was tainted by this,
how would the defendant know that?
They could seek to get an affidavit that one of the cases that's
and the government would be fighting that every step of the way to get into the mindset of the convening authority. There's no doubt about that.
Correct. But we presume
so
that
how would we know if the convening authority was drastically affected by the CCA weighing in and saying 10 years seems appropriate here?
Without speculation and without an affidavit, the court can't know. But we do presume that the convening authority is going to act in accordance with the law. We presume that the staff judge advocate is going to provide a proper legal analysis and not improperly say to the convening authority, the Army Court said 10 years, so let's just go 10 years, wink, wink. We presume that the government actors are going to act legally and appropriately. There's no reason at this point to assume that they will not, just because the appellant is asking the court to speculate. Until there's a reason to invade the convening authority's deliberations, for lack of a better word, we shouldn't presume that they're going to be tainted. With the three options given to appellant, he was given...
Now, you were referring to the outer bounds of 66 as giving the CCA the authority to do this. What are these outer bounds of which you speak?
The inherent authority to conduct a sentence appropriateness analysis.
That's not inherent, that's statutory.
Correct, but beyond that, though, part of that is what would go into the sentence appropriateness analysis. And here they conducted that analysis. They conducted it in a way that's unique, to be sure.
And fobbed it off on the convening authority. I mean, if they're doing a proper sentence analysis, why don't they want to take credit for it?
Because the Army Court set aside one of the specifications, the findings on that, the convening authority should have the opportunity to pursue a federal conviction on that set-aside sexual assault.
Well, that's absolutely right. But then they took it upon themselves to tell the convening authority what to do. Now, you can't have it both ways.
I disagree with Your Honor's assessment that they told the convening authority what to do. They gave him an option, which was one of three options. They didn't tell him that he has to take that option. They said that he could take that option if he didn't want to do one of the other two options. And if he didn't select to have the rehearing, or if he couldn't have the rehearing, that would leave a specification of sexual assault.
How do you square that with the unfettered discretion granted the convening authority under the former version of Article 60?
If the appellant gets what he is requesting, Your Honor, at that point the convening authority would have the unfettered discretion to sentence him up to the 15 years that was originally adjudged. The government has no issue with this going back to the convening authority with the full unfettered discretion to impose any sentence, any legal sentence, upon reassessment.
Counsel, you were just saying that we should assume that the convening authority would act appropriately, not be affected by the CCA's indication that 10 years is appropriate. Let me ask you a question. Why, in guilty plea cases, do we not let a military judge know about the quantum?
We do that, Your Honor, so that the military judge isn't predisposed to do something, but...
Hello?
There are cases where the military judge...
So you're saying that even though a military judge is supposed to do things and make the decision independently, is not supposed to be affected by that quantum, that human nature indicates that, in fact, the knowledge of the military judge of that quantum might have an effect?
It might have an effect, Your Honor, but this court doesn't mandate disqualification of a military judge who has accidentally been exposed to the quantum.
We're not talking about the disqualification of the CCA here. We're talking about the legal appropriateness of that occurring.
Right. It's certainly not a best practice, but whether or not that's going
to... So you're saying it is not a best practice for CCAs to do this?
Yes, Your Honor, but for different reasons than what they're saying. We don't believe that this is that the issue with this is that it would prejudice an appellant in any way, shape, or form. The issue is that it wouldn't allow a convening authority to have his full discretion under the law, where he could assess a sentence of 12 years, of 14 years.
So then why is the government trying to defend this? Why is the government not saying, you know what, all we have to do is say a CCA should not be doing this? We're getting into this issue of declaratory relief and so forth, but really all that the defense is asking for is for this court to say, don't be doing that. Go back and do a CCA, another 66 review at the CCA, simple enough, and don't put in a cap at this stage of the proceedings. Why is the government fighting that?
This gets to the difference of whether they can do it or whether they should do it.
Back to Chief Judge Stuckey's question, where's your authority to have the CCA do this? You're talking about the outer bounds of 66. Can you point to any statutory authority for this?
I cannot.
Counsel, may I ask you a question? It's not necessarily a legal question, and it's a question about which you may not be in a position to answer, is why would the CCA want to do this? Now, the appellant says, I don't like the limit because it suggests something that might be higher than what I might get. And you've just said, well, we don't really like the limit because it suggests a limit that might be lower than what the government might want. And I can understand both of those positions. But speaking for the court, I just don't really understand why the CCA would do this as opposed to just sending it back or just reassessing it. I mean, I'm somehow missing what the interest or the purpose of the CCA is in doing this. And again, maybe you're not in a position to speak for the CCA, but perhaps you understand the case better than I do.
While the Army Corps didn't explain why they took this action, what it does do is, because the court has already done a full Article 66 review and reviewed the entire record, the panel of three judges that have conducted that review, at this point, they are fully familiar with the record, and it potentially saves a future panel the time of having done that.
What about the appellant's argument is that, I suppose when it goes back to the CA, additional 1105s will be submitted, or could be submitted, for example, saying the appellant has behaved well in prison and has gone to all the classes and everything else, and that it's inappropriate for the CCA to say, well, we've seen the whole record at this time, because they haven't really seen everything that the CA is going to see at the time of reassessment.
Correct, Your Honor. And at that point, on the new Article 66 review, the approved sentence could only be lower than what it was initially on the second action. So it's a benefit to the appellant that this happens. It doesn't prejudice him in any way, shape, or form.
So I just want to be clear. In an instance where there's no statutory authority for the CCA to do this, we should say it's fine because it saves them a little bit of time and because it benefits an appellant.
Counsel, does it really save anybody at any time? Doesn't the next panel have to conduct its own Article 66 review? I mean, it's not able to just rely on what a different panel did, is it?
They do have to conduct another.
So there's no time saver, no time saving. So again, do you have any other thoughts as to why the CCA might have done this?
I don't understand why it is that they took this action, Your Honor.
Are you familiar with any legal authority that would say that if, as a supervisory court, all we're asked to do is to say that what a lower court did exceeded its authority, period, that we can't do that?
Off the top of my head, I do not. I'm not familiar with.
Given that you think that what they did potentially prejudices what the government would like, which is the maximum sentence they could give, which I said something stupid earlier, which is, of course, the community authority couldn't give them life since it'd be capped at 15 years. But why would you not want us to do that? Other than a knee-jerk reaction that you want to disagree with whatever the appellant wants.
Your Honor, we're quite happy for the appellant to get the relief that he asked for at oral argument. Had that been in the briefs where they only wanted to strike the last 22 words, I think that our brief would have said that we agree that that would be an appropriate course of action. Appellant's briefs indicated that they wanted it to be limited to a rehearing as opposed to giving the convening authority the reassessment option as well.
As opposed to leaving the convening authority with the full authority that he has, which is to take whatever action under the old Article 60 that he chooses, right, to either grant a rehearing or...
Correct, Your Honor. And I think that it's worth noting that Article 60 didn't get...
They can offer, do you disagree that they... Well, I'll ask them if they could authorize a sentence reassessment, correct?
They can authorize a sentence reassessment, Your Honor.
So I don't know if we've had a breakthrough here. In terms of, were you just saying that if the defense was seeking what the defense indicated this morning, that just taking away the language, putting the cap on this, the government would not have a problem?
The government has no objection to removing that cap and remanding it to the convening authority with the three options provided by the Army Corps minus that cap on reassessment. The court has no further questions. The judgment should be affirmed or, in the alternative, sent back to the convening authority without a cap on reassessment.
Thank you, counsel. Does the appellant have rebuttal?
So, counsel, where's the problem here? If you're both saying take away the cap, where's the dispute?
Your Honor, the reason why the defense's brief was more robust is because we did raise that a sentence reassessment at the convening authority was not appropriate under the Sales and Winkleman factors. And that's why that was briefed as well. But that was not the granted issue, and the granted issue was more, the scope of it was just to whether the Army Corps had the authority to do this.
So that's what we're deciding.
Unless you would also like to decide whether Sales and Winkleman factors of the reassessment was not appropriate.
Well, let me just ask one thing. You're not saying the convening authority has to take into account Sales and Winkleman factors?
No, Your Honor. We were saying that the
no,
Army Corps...
No, the convening authority can do it because he likes the cut of the guy's jib.
Yes, Your Honor.
Thank you.
Yes, Your Honor. Judge Ryan, to your question as to... the ripeness. If you think the court does not think that this is not yet ripe at this point, we'd ask that you just dismiss it without prejudice. But as we've already mentioned before, just because of the awkward timeliness of this, we believe the error occurred when the ultra vires language came in, and that's why we came to this higher court to correct it. So again, what we were asking for is those 22 words to be stricken, and to allow the convening authority to have an independent review. And then if that prerequisite of a punitive discharge in 1 year is triggered, then for the Army Court in due time, in normal procedure, to do the Article 66 sentence appropriateness review at that time.
And would you agree that the next panel, if it's a different panel of the CCA, to do its own Article 66 review, that it's not bound by what a former panel believed was an appropriate sentence?
Yes, Your Honor, because it would be full matters before that, whether they be aggravating or mitigating, that would be a completely different review at that point, Your Honor.
Thank you.
Questions?
Thank you, counsel. Court thanks counsel for both sides. Case is now submitted, and the court is in recess until 10:20.